Hot Tackler, episode 306, Hands-On Halo 4 Multiplayer, for August 17th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dustorn, and today I have two special guests with me to talk about some Halo 4 multiplayer stuff. And they are Naked Eli from Naked Halo on YouTube.
Hi.
Hello. And we have Bravo, MLG.
Hey.
MLG personality.
Hey.
We're so formal. Let's get the show on the road.
Yes, gamers are so formal.
Professional, what's up?
I'm definitely not reclining in a leather chair right now in my boxers.
I'm definitely not in the hotel.
I'm not outside on my front porch.
Hey, whatever floats your boat. So, all right. So we are going to talk about Halo 4 multiplayer, since these two fine gentlemen have actually got to play Halo, and I have not. I figured we decided to...
played Halo?
Halo 4.
Sorry, bro.
Halo. If I haven't played Halo, I would not be doing this podcast.
What are we on? 306 episodes?
306 episodes.
Awesome.
How'd you get this far without playing any Halo?
I know, right? I just watch a ton of videos and read all the books. That's enough, right?
Thanks for subscribing.
Yes. You should subscribe to both of these fine gentlemen. Do you guys want to throw out your YouTube real quick?
Free advertising, man. Yeah, only if they want.
Yeah.
I want to hear yours, George. Do you want to hear mine?
I want to hear yours, Bravo. You want to hear mine?
Yep. You go first.
What? Oh, are we pimping ourselves out? We haven't even started the show. People don't even know if they like us or our personalities.
But you guys have been on the show before. You guys have been on the show before, so.
Naked Halo. Twitter. Facebook. YouTube.
With a three.
Bravo MLG. Twitter. YouTube. That's it.
Sweet.
Yep.
Podtaculars, Podtac TV.
Mm.
Plug that one in.
All right, now we got that out of the way.
Yay. So, Halo 4 multiplayer. You guys were able to play it at E3 and San Diego Comic-Con, and Bravo, you also got to play it at RTX, right?
Correct.
Sweet. So, was it the same build every time at each event, or did they have incremental builds that you got to play each time?
Same build every time.
All right. So, is it, do you know like what stage it was, like Alpha 6 build or?
No, it's just commonly referred to as the E3 build. So, pretty much every video that you've seen from RTX, every public video that GameSpot and MLG did was the same build. And there's a few Comic-Con videos that Eli and I have. Of course, the 343 versus community, that's all the same build.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's past the alpha stage. I would consider it a beta. It's a mostly polished, finished product. But that being said, I forget who I was talking to. I think it was Kevin Franklin at the Comic-Con Halo 4 VIP party who said that the build that everyone's been seeing is so broken compared to the build that they were using in-house 3 months later that it essentially is a whole new game now. I mean, obviously the graphics and the builds and everything are similar, but I would consider it like an early beta for the E3, and what they have now is just like the late beta that they're finishing up and polishing and getting all the bugs out.
So do you think we'll see an updated build at PAX? I mean, I would think if they're... Because they said in this week's bulletin that they're at the final stages of just kind of doing the little tweaks to the weapons and stuff. So all the groundwork has been laid, and they're making those final tweaks to the game before they publish it to gold status. So do you guys think that we're going to see a more finalized build to get kind of community feedback on what they've done and just get some more details on how to finally tweak those last few settings?
I would definitely guess, just based on what the bulletin said, that PAX will have an updated build, especially because there are no more huge changes going into the game. So... from what I understand, it's just tweaking every day. So that being said, I don't see why we wouldn't see, maybe not the latest build, because who knows if we'll have maybe a build from last week or last month. I don't know. But right. Definitely, right. I expect to see some updates from what we saw. That was all the way back in June. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll have an updated version. But to be honest, I don't know how much it, like, how many resources it took to get those E3 builds out with the level of polish that they had. Like, they'd have to make all new discs or whatever, unless it's all downloadable.
And I think that's actually all hard drive based.
It's all dev kits.
Yeah, it's all dev kits.
So do you think they would make all new dev kits just for one event before the launch of Halo 4 when they're in the super crunch phase? Or do you think they're just going to bring in the E3 build back?
From what I understand about Xbox, how this all works is they just pull up a build. Like, they type in a bunch of numbers and that build pops up.
I've heard, they have to actually kind of branch it off and kind of finalize a build to get like some of the wrappings done right, but...
Oh, sure. I mean, there's definitely a lot of work. I know to get the E3 build alone ready was, I'm sure, tons of very late nights until the early morning. So I don't know how the technology of it works, but I think we can both agree that something new will be at PAX.
Yeah. It's going to be big announcement. I don't know. We'll see what it is, though. We got how many days? Like 2 weeks.
We got 2 weeks.
It's coming fast.
I know.
And we'll all be there.
And yep. Also, yeah.
I had to buy a $200 pass off of eBay.
And also, I don't know. We're gonna have to wait to see if anyone has videos, but Halo 4 is in Gamescom, and I assume that's the E3 build. I don't know. I haven't heard, but I saw a picture of a Halo 4 station at Gamescom, and I know people are playing it there. I know Microsoft doesn't have an official presence, but and then also at Canada's Fan Expo, which is the 24th.
Weekend before. Leading up.
I'll be in Raleigh, unfortunately, but there's also going to be a build there, so. If we find out what builds are at those events, that also might give us a hint as to what's going to be at PAX.
Hopefully.
And it's still E3 builds, that doesn't mean that a new build won't be at PAX, because PAX is obviously a much larger consumer event and a larger Halo fan base.
Right. I'm guessing, or at least from the trends of it, I'm hoping with having a newer build would actually be a little bit better in order to kind of hook more people in and kind of keep them there. Because... if we keep on seeing the same stuff over and over again, like the E3 stuff, people would just get content with it. So I'm hoping they do actually bring a new build for E3. Or, I'm sorry, not E3, PAX.
Dude, how sick would it be to have Halo 4 stations set up at Raleigh? Bro, do you think there's any chance of that happening?
At Raleigh? I don't think there's anything like that in place, just because Halo 4 stations will be at Fan Expo, and I assume they don't have... certainly have the resources, but I don't think they have the actual, like... units and everything to because there also won't already be a giant Halo presence at Raleigh, because it's not at the event. But I know that there are talks between MLG and 343 about Dallas. If anyone doesn't know that, I mean, Sundance has publicly talked about a Halo 4 teams playing there and an exhibition match, and it's only a few days before the game drops. So I don't see why we wouldn't see something that's MLG Dallas. That's going to be November 4th through 6th. 2nd through 4th, excuse
second
me.
Through 4th,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's a few days before the drop. So that's going to be kind of crazy with everyone being there who wants to watch or play Halo 4, and then also getting home the next day to prepare for a midnight release. It's going to kind of be a crunch time.
Andy and I will both be at Dallas.
Yeah. George, you too, Rich. Come on, George.
I think he said no earlier. When I asked him like a month ago,
well,
he said no.
If Halo 4 is confirmed, you might have to come, man.
Yeah.
I might. I thought they did confirm it. Halo 4 was launched?
The event concludes, so I guess, 2 days before the midnight launch.
So I'm there. I get there on Thursday. Then I'll fly out Monday straight to New York. I'll go to there for the launch party, and then I'll fly back on Tuesday.
Wow.
Home. So
I don't know what I'm doing for launch yet. I'm not sure.
LA launch, bro. Last time I was there for the Halo anniversary, the Microsoft store in Santa Monica, and Frank O'Connor, David Ellis, and the lead producer for anniversary was there, and there were Spartans walking around, and like,
well, there's a Microsoft store in New York.
It was just awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm going.
Like 14 in America or something ridiculous. Like, they're nowhere near the level of Apple Store, which is popping up everywhere.
Right. So it's going to be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a crazy time.
I'm hoping to actually get a media release, and I'm hoping it's not during Dallas weekend. I hope I get it a couple days beforehand so I can get some videos ready for
Halo
during...
4 early. I'm not going to any events. I'm just playing Halo 4 nonstop until I pass out from a week of exhaustion.
This is also the case for me.
So you wouldn't go to MLG if you got a pre-release?
I guess I'd go to MLG with my pre-release.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would too.
Sit in the hotel room playing the entire time.
Yeah, I'd
come down. You know how popular you'd be? Just record the video of everyone coming up watching you playing that game.
I wouldn't be able to show it publicly. I'd hide in a room by myself playing.
Well, what are the rules with that? Like, can you not upload videos until release day?
Oh, definitely not.
No, there's usually like a 2-day media embargo. So you can usually release content like 2 days before the game comes out.
Yeah, because I remember on Anniversary that all of the guides for the Skulls and Terminals were released like 1 or 2 days before the game even shipped. Yep. And I was like, wow, this puts me at a huge disadvantage getting the game on launch day. Why is it that these people are allowed to upload this content? Is that legal?
It is.
Well, yeah, okay. I guess if you go through official channels, yeah. But otherwise, if you don't have that official media, whatever it may be, you definitely can't. You can only upload midnight Eastern for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a question we'll have to ask Jessica at PAX. If we get the game early. Yeah. I don't know if that's even possible.
It's definitely possible. It's a big if at this point. But I'm sure if we got the early release copies, you guys would definitely be getting news from us during that weekend.
Sweet.
I'd probably drive to your house and...
yeah, whatever we have to do.
I wouldn't hurt you. I would just watch.
we should just get a room at Dallas Bravo.
Yeah, let's get a room.
A nice big suite?
Yeah, why not? If we get it early enough, it won't be as expensive.
Dude, I'll go to Dallas if you guys have Halo 4 on you.
Let's make it a deal. All right.
Internet handshake.
So before Eli has to go, let's get onto the actual subject matter of tonight's show. And that is actual hands-on experience for Halo 4. So from your guys' experience, from what you've played at E3 and Comic-Con, how does the game feel compared to Halo 3 and Halo Reach? Are people going to like it? Are there certain things that just feel odd about the game or different? What are your guys' opinions on how it compares to other Halo games?
You want to start, George?
Sure. Yeah, Bravo's had a lot more experience with the game than I have, so I'm sure he can give more of a complete answer. I played 2 games of multiplayer, 1 game of Spartan Ops, and I thoroughly enjoyed the experience of both. I feel like Spartan Ops is firefight that actually has story, meaning, purpose, and it drives you forward. You're not just sort of sitting back waiting to get slaughtered by Covenant the entire time. And then they also have the new enemy class, so that makes it more exciting than just fighting the same old grunts and elites that we've been fighting since Halo 1. As for the multiplayer, which is what most people are pumped for and also questioning, I'd say that the experience felt more like Halo 3 than Halo Reach, which surprised me because so many of these new factors are emulated based on what we saw in Reach, right? Armor abilities, plus like all these new packages, just really changing the core gameplay mechanics of Halo from what we've seen in the past. Whereas Halo 3 was very similar to Halo 2, and Halo 2, you know, more similar to Halo 1 than I think Halo 4 is to any previous games. So I think it's amazing how they've managed to strike a real nice balance there with like exciting updated changes, and hopefully it'll all be balanced. I think that's the big question now, but I'd say it felt more like Halo 3 and it felt like Halo for all those people who are like, oh, this isn't Halo. It's very different from Call of Duty. Also, everyone's been saying it has similar features, which of course is true. Like in any medium, you're going to get thoughts and ideas shared among developers, and that's just, you know, the way that entire industries move forward is by helping each other and also through healthy competition. So all in all, like, I really enjoyed the few games that I played with it, and I thought that it was a lot of fun.
So yeah, I agree with Eli's sentiment that it does have a Halo 3 feel, possibly more so than any other Halo game. But I think there's also a little bit, as Eli was saying, there's so many Reach elements or things that make it feel like Reach, the two big ones being sprint and, of course, armor abilities. I don't know how they did it, and I hope David Ellis comes out with a podcast or a few podcasts with the Sandbox team, but the fact that sprint is default across the board works out unbelievably well, at least it did in the E3 build, and everyone's armor abilities were pretty... I would say balanced, and also they didn't change the game to a huge degree like something like Evade could change, like just really throw off gameplay. You know, the thruster pack has been brought into this game because it still gives you that lateral or really any directional movement, but it doesn't modify your hitbox at all, if I understand it correctly. So there's been a lot of elements they took, and like Kevin Franklin said, they just took the game frame by frame and have modified it to play very differently from any Halo. So it's a brand new experience, for sure. That's what they're trying to create. The guns at first did feel heavy. Everything felt a little bit clunkier. But I think, I don't know if George can agree with, I know you've played a few games, so you kind of really get used to it fast. I didn't think I would, but you get used to it very fast. And the movement, I think the movement with sprint is somewhat reminiscent of Reach, because when you're coming around corners, you're going to be sprinting around corners, you're going to be sprinting, jumping over staircases, over obstacles. So that's very Reach-like. But the movement while shooting, for example, movement while shooting the battle rifle, a lot of pro Halo players who played at E3 were comparing it to the fact that you have to move and shoot, really, in Halo 3. You have to strafe with your shot. You can't just stand still and shoot and expect your bullets to hit. It's much easier if you're using the left stick and the right stick to make sure your shots are hitting, so you're moving in an appropriate way. And I think that's also the case in Halo 4. There's definitely elements from both. It's a whole new Halo game for sure. But it does feel like Halo, and I think everyone I've talked to, because I've had the chance and privilege of talking to a lot of community members at RTX and also Comic-Con who have played the game for the first time, and I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about it. I mean, some people are skeptical about certain tactical or certain support upgrades, but other than that, skepticism about all the balancing of the issues, I think everyone is pretty happy with what they've seen from the game. Obviously, those issues are still being tweaked for a while, and they'll probably continue to be tweaked for a few weeks before the game's all wrapped up. So I think definitely it has a Halo feel, and I don't think people will be disappointed. Of course, we're going to have to wait until we see the game, though.
Right. That's a good thing to hear for a lot of the people that were skeptic about it. Eli, you mentioned something about you were playing Spartan Ops. How does that kind of compare to how Firefight was played? I know Firefight's basically supposed to be a new element that's kind of enveloped within Spartan Ops. But how does that kind of break away from Firefight and give this new game type kind of a chance to live in Halo 4?
Well, I think there's two distinct differences. One is that Firefight is very much like there's this stationary map. We're just going to drop a bunch of enemies around you who are going to get harder over time. And you're just going to kill them, and then if you can survive that at the end. It's very single-minded, very one-directional, but Spartan Ops is like you're dropped into this battlefield. There's stuff happening around you. You have limited intelligence telling you what's going on, but you don't really know where to go or what to do, and everything just sort of becomes clear on the path as you move forward. So there's a cave, and you're like, oh, I should probably go through that cave, and you go through the cave, and then you see a bunch of, forerunners, and then you kill all the forerunners, like Promethean Knights, whatnot, and then you're like, okay, I killed them, what do I do now? And then, like, a package will drop, and enemies will pop out of it, or there'll be a button for you to press or something. And so, for me, the thing I really liked about it was the unpredictability, whereas Firefight is 100% completely predictable every single time. You know what's going to happen. Spartan Ops, there's going to be 50 missions. That's so many missions. It's like a whole second campaign. And there's also going to be, this is the second main difference, is that there's story associated with Spartan Ops, whereas in Firefight, it was like, oh, hold this important territory, Spartans. You know, Spartan Ops, it's like you're actually developing characters who will meet Chief in the main campaign, and they're also tied to your progression system for multiplayer. So just how you got credits from playing Firefight in Reach to buy armor, you now also gain Spartan points in Spartan Ops, and you can also use your gameplay mods from War Games in the Spartan Ops experience. So it's highly customized, and it'll scratch that itch for like people who are huge into Firefight, but I think most players will enjoy it a lot more.
All right. We know that there's going to be 50 Spartan Ops missions. It's going to be broken into 10 weeks, 5 missions per week. And that's basically the first season. Is there any indication that we're going to see like a second season, possibly as DLC down the line? So like maybe a year after the launch of Halo 4, we'll get like another season of missions?
Go ahead, George.
I was just going to say, I think they announced 10 weeks of the first season. And so it's not unreasonable that sooner after they could even charge for a second season. I mean, they've been hinting that even though the first season is free, that might not be true in the future. But I don't know, Bravo, do you know anything else more on that front?
Let's see. So I'm sorry, how long did they say the first – is it 10 weeks the first season?
Yeah, it's 10 weeks. It's 50 missions.
And I remember hearing publicly or reading it that they wanted Spartan Ops. It might have been in the most recent IGN, one of their articles, but they said that they want Spartan Ops to expand the game in months or even years. So I don't know if they have it planned, but that there is a possibility that it will be expanded months or even years. And now that I realize that that was also said about specializations. I do remember quite a while ago that they said that we want Spartan Ops to continue for months and even possibly years into the lifespan of Halo 4. So I don't know. For all we know, they're already building the next season, which I would be surprised just because of how efficiently everyone in that office works. But I'm sure they have plans. Maybe it's not set in stone, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if there were more seasons of Spartan Ops.
So for multiplayer, we saw the introduction of classes in Halo Reach. Now, since we have kind of a branched out version of classes, we have tactical packages, support packages, being able to have custom loadouts. How is that going to, in your guys' opinions, affect multiplayer matchmaking and things possibly like tournaments and MLG? Andy, I'll throw this one over to you since George answered cool. the Spartan Ops one.
Let's see. The first thing definitely I want to touch on, if anyone didn't catch in the Halo Bulletin yesterday, it was announced that there will be out-of-the-box playlists that do not use support upgrades or tactical packages. So we can assume that that would just be a primary weapon, grenades, secondary weapon, or maybe no secondary weapon. I don't know. Something like that doesn't use a lot of the new features, and it's very much like a vanilla style. And some competitive players might like the sound of that. Maybe MLG and other leagues will utilize that. However, I think there is a big push to use settings that are similar to out-of-the-box settings. So I'd much rather see some of that stuff used. In Halo 3, for example, we saw all equipment removed altogether, and the game was very popular competitively. And, of course, Halo 3 was also a very popular game outside of the competitive scene with equipment use. So those communities can get along with different settings and with stuff completely removed. So I don't want people to use Reach as an example of what should and shouldn't happen with competitive versus non-competitive. I want to say casual because I think everyone is a casual gamer, but some people, play tournaments. So just competitive and non-competitive, if you ask me. But all of the different things, obviously 343, from what we've been told, and Mike has talked with them during, RTX and everything, and all those events this summer that have been a lot of fun. They just spend so much time balancing and tweaking everything, and if there's something, there's going to be a way to counter, and there'll be a lot of strategy in that. And of course, we know from gameplay at those events that you can modify your mid-match. So if someone is using ability X, and you're like, gosh, I can't believe they're using that. I wish I had whatever. You can just quickly modify your loadout, and that'll give you an opportunity to really counter that. So it's a lot of on-the-fly strategy as well. So it's not like you're going to be stuck with something. You can really make those decisions. And Frank O'Connor has said it sometimes, it's really about customizing your play style. At least that's what they say. And I agree with that from what I've seen, that you can play a certain role on your team or as a free-for-all player based on what you choose. They're not just gimmicky things as far as the tactical and the support go. So I think a multiplayer is going to be a little bit chaotic in the beginning, definitely without a doubt. There's going to be a lot of new things, and there could even be a lot of stuff that we haven't seen yet, and maybe we'll find that out of PAX. But it's definitely going to be chaos at first. People are not going to know what to choose. Kevin Franklin also said if there's any God mode abilities, that those would be nerfed, obviously. So they're going to look at the game, sustainability and balancing. But I definitely expect some crazy stuff, and it's going to make for some really good both podcasts and YouTube content of people saying, oh, this stability is great, and then maybe 2 weeks later, people
break.
Are like, no, it's not good because everyone's using this now. So it'd be cool to see the evolution of the multiplayer.
See stuff just break.
Yeah, exactly.
So how's the control layout? Because I know they have Sprint now, since Sprint is a full thing. It takes over, the left stick?
It depends on what setting you're talking about.
Or default. Default, I think, is...
I don't believe so. I
what was...
To be honest,
card somewhere.
Because it also has a Frankie did say that the bumper dumper settings were incorrect for the E3 build. So unfortunately, every event after that that had the E3 build had incorrect bumper jumper settings. So as a result, I played on default. And
I'm looking at the default card, and if you push down the left stick, you get sprint, and that makes crouch the B button, which makes RPG the melee.
And then I think toggle crouch was default. I think that was not true either. But I actually did just ask about control settings, and that info is not finalized yet. So fortunately, we don't know the final details on what that looked like.
All right. Well, with control schemes that you were able to play with, how did it feel playing compared to like the Halo 3 controls and the Halo Reach controls?
George, what did you play on?
Well, you actually mentioned earlier, like, if I felt it was fluid after a few games, and the reason I didn't was because I was playing on a broken bumper jumper where the left trigger was not grenade, it was, like, armor ability use, so I'd want to throw a grenade, and I'd, like, launch out Promethean Vision, and I'm like, oh my god, this is terrible, and in the two games that I played, I never got used to it, which is why, like, on the video on my channel, it was so ridiculous trying to get used to playing again after, you know, since E3. But I think controls aside, if it's similar to Reach, then I will like the controls. The only issue I have is with X being the use of armor abilities, because that in Reach made it really difficult to jetpack and shoot and aim at the same time. And I think that was the biggest crutch, being a bumper jumper player. Other than that, you know, you want bumper jumper so you can keep your left, both thumbs on both thumbsticks at all times. So you can always move and you can always shoot. But that means that X, Y, B, A shouldn't be anything you want to do while you're in a fight, which might include armor ability use. So I don't know if right trigger is always shoot, left trigger is always grenade. Then we have the bumpers, right? And some people want to melee in a fight, so that's usually the right bumper. But and then if you're on like a bumper jumper, one of the bumpers is supposed to jump you. So you either have to get rid of the melee for using the armor ability, or keep the melee there, and then you know, that kind of takes away some of the advantage of bumper jumper, I feel.
Yeah, based on what we saw in the bulletin yesterday, I mean, yes, BS Andrew really stressed that, you know, all the stuff, I think she was more talking about specifications, but armor and everything and tactical and support overall and the armor ability is supposed to be like a minimal enhancement, you know, but I mean, certainly old Promethean Vision was very powerful. We don't know how it is, but I think melee in almost all game modes is going to be more desired on that right bumper than an armor ability. Would you agree?
I agree, actually, because like if you look at stats on Bungie.net or Halo Waypoint, you always notice melees are like, what, 30% of everyone's kills?
Yeah.
Because you get into that close range,
it's pretty
and bam,
high.
You punch him in the face. So I agree. I'd rather have the melee there, but that's, yeah, where else is the armor ability going to go unless they make like a new controller, you know, they've got those Razer Onzas with the extra triggers or bumpers or whatever, try to fix this problem, but aren't as good quality as the Microsoft original controllers. So, I don't know. What did X do on default? It was the action or the reload button?
What was X on default? X was grenade on broken bumper jumper, right?
Yes.
X may have been, I can't even. Let's go through it. So it'd be right trigger, left trigger, and then the left bumper would have probably been was definitely ability. Mm-hmm. Right bumper would have been
melee.
I suppose on default. Yeah, it was
on
B,
default.
Crouch.
Yeah.
I don't know if A had a function. Y is change weapons.
A is jump.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm sorry. I keep getting them. It's so easy to confuse the two because I play Halo 1 and I also play Reach. So.
X is just like in Halo 2, right? Or Halo 1. It's like the action reload button. So it like gets you into warthogs and out of warthogs.
Oh, okay, of course. Yeah, it picks up weapons and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Reach, right? X is that as well.
Mm-hmm. So then B would be, B was crouch, and it was, a toggle crouch was default, but I think that's going to be changed. Then what was sprint on default?
Push down left trigger.
Left stick. Left stick.
Used to be crouch, yeah.
Left stick, right?
Yeah,
left stick. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And we've gone through it, but I mean, I don't know if those are final. So definitely don't take my word for that. If you're expecting to do a decision based off this podcast.
I mean, yes, this is not final. They're subject to change, so we'll have to see what comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish there were more buttons, but that would just make it even more confusing for casual players, so I don't know. I don't know, bro.
I mean, they've probably ironed it out with some of these later builds as well. At least we can hope.
Yep.
Why can't the D-pad be, like, use more stuff? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, like, you look at Gears of War as an example.
That would be sick.
Well, the D-pad is used for ordnance, I think. But,
yeah.
I mean, I know. But Gears of War, you use a lot of D-pad. I don't know if I'm particularly fond of that, but that's just an example of a game that's D-pad heavy.
I mean, honestly, yeah, it's been interesting that D-pad hasn't been used that much. Although, I mean, with the ordnance drops now, we're going to see it used a lot more for that. But that means that that's pretty much already reserved for that now. You can't really use it for much anything else.
It says you can select grenade with the D-pad on the default settings. So if you have, like, blasts and frags.
That makes sense, because that's actually going to be my next question, is what switch grenade? Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. I probably didn't switch grenades a lot across those three events.
Is it not right bumper?
No, it's the right bumper was melee.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's D-pad use. Who knows what we'll see, though. It'll be very interesting when they finally get announced.
I mean, that'll be interesting, because if you have ordnance drop, and you have the three, like, left, down, and right as the ones that you can pick, and then if you have that specialization where you can push up to re-roll, that means all four D-pad things are taken.
Yeah, I think when you're calling in one, it only takes a second, and you wouldn't be switching grenades as you're calling one in anyway, because you're not engaging anyone for that split second. No problem. But
you could be.
I figured it out. Instead of just having one action per button, you can do combos. So BY is like your reroll, and like XY is, I don't even know where I'm going with this. You can do multiple buttons at the same time to do stuff. I don't know.
I thought you had that confirmed.
Yeah, totally.
It scared me, man. I was like, what is he doing? Well, Street Fighter just made its way into Halo.
So something you might be able to do with, like, the sprinting and crouching is, like, if you're moving already, if you click down on the left stick, maybe you start sprinting. And then for crouching, you have to be moving at a certain pace or slower, and then you crouch instead.
It's kind of hard to push down on the left stick when it's moved up as opposed to stationary, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I do that in Call of Duty.
These are the difficult decisions that 343 is making as we speak to finalize the controller configuration.
I mean, I'm just thinking that Call of Duty, you have Call of Duty is left click or left stick click into sprint, and I'm always moving forward before I hit sprint. Because if you're not moving forward and you click it down, you won't sprint. You have to be moving forward first. So maybe that can still serve as a dual purpose. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe you're right.
So.
God.
So do you guys think of the tactical packages and the support packages that we're gonna see as part of these classes?
Which ones were support again? Which ones were tactical?
Shoot.
I always get these confused.
Tactical,
one of them is like
had,
unlimited
tactical had firepower, which was a lot, which when you could carry two primaries.
I also had the unlimited sprint, right?
There's so many things, and in all honesty, I've seen a few extras that I certainly can't talk about, so I'm going to dodge this.
All right. thanks for the heads up.
But yeah, there's like one that gives you an ability of some sort. But I feel like they're both just abilities. I still don't know what differentiates these abilities, like support from tactical. Like whether it's arbitrary or they actually have different purposes in for your Spartan.
Well, I think support would be like ammo, and I think...
Oh, that's right. Like shield regenerates faster.
Right.
And your armor builds
shielding, whereas the other one has... has firepower and all that stuff.
All right, here we go. I have a list here from the little English Halo blog.
YouTube.com/BravoMLG.
Yeah, there's one there. So from the little English Halo blog, the armor abilities are Promethean Vision, Hard Light Shield, Auto Sentry, Jetpack, Thruster Pack, Active Camo, Hologram, and Regeneration Field. Tactical packages are firepower, a shield package, AA efficiency, Grenadier, shielding. Support packages are awareness, sensor upgrade, ammo upgrade, resupply, mobility.
Mm-hmm. Mobility is limited sprint.
Right. Resupply is pick up grenades.
And I think they're all just suit. There's a crazy bunch of variables that really different players are going to take a liking to. I don't see any of that we just heard, with the exception of a few of the armor abilities, depending on how they're tweaked, being super overpowered. For example, if you're playing against kids who are inferior to your skill level, you may just pick ammo because you don't want to have to pick up, you don't want to run out of ammo, so something like that. Whereas if you're playing against, someone who is on your skill level, you might go with something like mobility or shielding because you want that faster shield recharge. So I think you can really cater it to who you're playing against, the map you're playing, the game type, all that stuff. So you'll want to be on your toes. I don't think it's rare that someone will be able to choose, is what I'm trying to say, a go-to combination of armor ability, tactical, and support, and just use it across the board for everything. I don't think that would really be wise.
You also have the ability to set, right, preset 10 or so custom configurations, so that if you have, a favorite combination, then you know, okay, on this map, I really like going with my second custom setup, and then for the next map, you can just easily switch back to the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. Bravo, you mentioned something about being able to change your class in the middle of the game. Is that where you can actually modify your class settings, or you can just choose a different class?
No. If you hit start, your first option is modify loadout in the E3 build, I believe. It might have been select next loadout first option, but the first two options are select next loadout or modify loadouts. Modify brings you as if you were out of the game creating a class. And you just totally can change. You can tweak one, you can create a whole new one. You can take however many seconds. Yeah. So
similar to Battlefield.
Switch between. Yeah, yeah. And you can, of course, also switch between your weapons. I mean, your classes, excuse me.
Sweet.
Yeah. You have to die in order to use the next one, though.
Right.
Which oftentimes you'll see players just jump off the edge just because they didn't get the weapon they want.
Yeah, I saw Nexi do that in one of Bravo's videos.
Yeah.
He did it twice, I think.
That's great. You just gave a kill to the other. You just lowered your team score. Well, I wanted the package. All right. So, is there a favorite package that you guys, or a loadout that you guys have kind of messed around with?
I
guess that's more Bravo. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are taking liking to, I don't know the specifics really with maybe the support upgrades, but are using the tactical. I know Frankie has talked about it a lot in some of his press interviews as well. Using firepower, and it gives you that option to choose a BR DMR combo, so you can really have whichever you'd like. And also, I mean, you can be in battle, and how many times in past Halo games do you lose a multi-kill because you run out of ammo? And you, while using firepower, you spawn with the BR and DMR or whatever primary you want, and you can just literally run top middle, gun through some people, more people come, you just hit Y and gun through those people. And technically, if you had a backpack reload in this, like you did in Halo 1, you could just never have to reload, but I'm sure they'll be very careful with glitches. But, I mean, I think that's, I don't know specifically the support, but a lot of people are liking tactical, the tactical package to be firepower, because it gives really a bunch of options there. You can have advantage, long range battles, close range battles. If you want to have an AR, you can really do whatever you want with that. And then as far as support goes, I kind of am leaning towards shielding, I believe. Are shielding and ammo both in support?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, yes. I was kind of leaning towards, depending on who I was playing against. So for example, if I was playing against maybe some community members at one of the events, I'd go with ammo because I feel like I would have more things to shoot at and I would stay alive longer. But if I was playing against maybe some of the best guys at 343 or people I knew that just have a natural talent in the Halo series, I'd probably go with shielding because I want my shield to recharge a little bit sooner. So in those one-on-one battles, when you're on the top and the bottom of the staircase and you both become one shot, you know that your shield, if I understand how it works correctly, is going to come back a little bit faster than theirs will, and you can then, they'll still be weak and you can finish the kill. So I think all of those are popular right now, but we'll have to see when the game drop if that trend continues. But I definitely see firepower being used a lot.
Okay. From the maps that you guys have played, we've had Haven, Adrift, and Longbow actually playable. What do you guys think of those maps in terms of multiplayer? How do they compare to other maps that we've seen in like Halo 3 and Reach, kind of how they flow for Slayer, for objective games, and that kind of stuff?
I've played Haven, so So I really enjoyed what I played of it. I thought, though, that it was a little slow compared to my previous Halo experiences. In Reach, you had the huge range of the DMR. So I know they built the maps around that, but I felt they were closer in size to Halo 3 maps, which used the BR. And it just felt a little bit slower pace. Like, even though you have Sprint, which makes up for the larger size maps, they said that Haven was one of the smallest maps, if not the smallest one we're going to see out of 343 and Halo 4. So I thought that was like a meaty and big size map initially. So I'm curious to see just how huge these other maps like Longbow are going to be, but not necessarily for big team, but also for 4v4s. Yeah, Bravo, what do you think?
I think Haven has really good sidelines. It's actually quite a big map, even though just because it has those two levels, has good sidelines. I actually fooled around with it for a while trying to break it, and it's got quite a few jumps on it that I'm excited to, for people to find out. I think the map overall plays very well. It plays well for Regicide. It could ideally play well for Capture the Flag. Not so much for Oddball, but obviously Team Player and Free for All, it'd be great. Adrift, I would say. You want to avoid anything such as an Oddball or a King of the Hill because these sidelines are not as long as Haven, and it's very compartmentalized. If you think about Lockout Hill worked because half of the map was compartmentalized, like Library, Bottom BR, Bottom Snipe, all of blue, but they had a lot of open areas. I feel like a Drift doesn't have all of those open areas. Of course, the center area is wide open, but after that, you're breaking off and branching into tunnels and different staircases. So I think Adrift's going to be a great Team Slayer map. It'll probably work pretty well for Regicide. I've had the chance to play Regicide on a few times, and it's very fast-paced and hectic, and the last minutes are always crazy because you have a lot of people crowding into one area. And I don't know where the flags would be on default, so I can't really comment on Capture the Flag. Longbow seems to be a really fun map. I might compare it to something like Zanzibar in Halo 2. Certainly not, it's not of that size, but Zanzibar is a good example of a map that was really a fan favorite, and even at first, MLG 1 flag was a game type right when the game came out. No one really hated Zanzibar. It was kind of very much, like I already said, a fan favorite. I think the map flows very well. At 4v4, it's kind of small, and I talked to 343 about this. I think what they're looking at is at least, a 5v5 or a 6v6 on that map, and of course 8v8 would be a little bit tighter. I think the way that the map is built with things like with the ordnance drops and the first drops, you kind of have that first pinch where you grab ideally a sniper rifle and look across the map. So very long sidelines, but in the bases you have a lot of close range battle where scatter shots and shotguns are gonna, dominate. So I think for Longbow you're gonna see a lot of good big team. Big Team Slayer, Big Team Flag, and possibly whatever other game types they have coming for us. So I think that covers it for all three of them.
Sweet. Alrighty. Well, I know you guys have stuff to do, so I want to thank you guys for coming on, giving us a little quick view of how multiplayer actually plays, or kind of what we've seen so far on how it actually plays. So hopefully we will get an updated version of the game to play at PAX. And if you guys are going to be there, definitely check us out. We are all on Twitter and we all have YouTube, so definitely check out our videos. Again, Naked Eli is on Twitter and YouTube. You want to give your stuff out again?
It's all Naked Halo, NAK3D Halo. On both on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And yeah, thanks for having me on the show, man.
Not a problem. And then we have Bravo MLG on YouTube and Twitter as well.
On YouTube and Twitter. Thank you guys for checking out this episode. I feel like we're a little bit scatterbrained because there's still so much that's being announced, and it's hard to remember exactly what we were playing back in June. But I think if there are new settings that we see, actually, I think I'd love to, and I'm sure I speak for George as well, I'm sure there'll be a ton to talk about, so we'd love to hop back on the show.
Oh, yeah, you guys will definitely be on probably in the middle of September or near the end of September, so you guys
We should do a show at PAX.
We will.
Video more.
We will.
Our channels. I'm happy, awesome. Man. I'm coming for you.
It'll be great. For PodTacular, we are at PodTacular on Twitter, / PodTacular on Facebook, and PodTac TV on YouTube. So make sure you check us out. Check out our website, podtacular.com, where you can submit your info, anything that's Halo 4 related, any questions you may have of what we talked about tonight, any Halo 4 related stuff, any Halo Reach content you have, any funny clips that you want to talk to us about, any game types you may be working on, any of that kind of stuff. Send it on over to submissions@podtacular.com or click on the big green button on our homepage.
And I got to say, Dustin, I'm staying in a friend's house in Seattle. And when I told him that I was on PodTacular tonight, he couldn't believe it. His name is Jordan, and he hasn't been active in a while, but I think he's still like top 100 posters of all time on the site. So definitely shout out to Jordan. He's a big PodTacular fan.
Very nice. Is he registered on the site?
Oh yeah, he's registered. He's I think since 2007, if that sounds right.
What's his username?
That's what he told me. Let me forget it.
All right.
I'll go ask him.
Sweet. And sorry for the audio quality, guys, tonight. I'm in a hotel. Actually, I'm away from home. I'm doing training this week, so the audio quality is a little bit lower than normal. But you guys should be able to at least understand what we're talking about.
He's such a popular ladies' man. His username is George Dizzle, and you can imagine by the Izzle.
George Dizzle. Okay. I'll have to keep out an eye on him. Doesn't ring a
bell. I was pumped to find a huge PodTacular fan on the same roof.
I'm just as glad. I'm glad PodTacular is that popular. All right. Well, check these guys out. Stay tuned to more podcasts from us. We actually have a couple more podcasts coming out. And with all the Halo Bulletin news, you can definitely expect us to have a podcast out every week leading up to the release of Halo 4. So thanks, awesome. You guys again for listening. Thank you, Bravo and Eli, for coming on. And we will see you guys. Thank you, man. We will see you guys later.
Appreciate it, guy Dustin. Peace.